flat, cottage, farmhouse, and cob are all... types of bread, types of cheese. Houses. Who said houses? Barbara said houses. Flat, cottage, farmhouse, and cob are all types of accommodation. Places you can live. Can we have the next slide, please? Flat, cottage, farmhouse, and cob are all types of bread. They're all types of bread. And as I meditated on this, you know, flat, cottage, farmhouse, cob, they're all types of houses. They're also all types of bread. And of course, it's bread, amongst other things, that makes a house a home. Isn't it? The food on the table that makes a house a home. I've got a list here. Flat, cottage, farmhouse, cob, brown, white, wholemeal, naan, pita, baguette, gluten-free, brioche, and the list goes on and on. We've all eaten bread, I'm sure, at some point. And in many places around the world and throughout history, bread is a very important part of our diet. Could we have the next slide, please, yeah? Years ago in Romania, back in the 1990s, people ate bread with every meal. And if you invited people to your home and you forgot to provide the most important thing, they would sit at the table and ask, bread? People felt that they had to eat bread with their meal, such that if you made a stew containing meat, potatoes and vegetables, they could not eat it without bread. They would say, I cannot eat it gol. Remember that word, gol. It means empty. To eat a meal without bread was to eat gol, was to eat empty. When I told Gabby that I was going to mention this morning, she told me of an article that she read in the newspaper when she was a child, all those years ago, and she still remembers. And this is somehow how the story goes. We don't have the exact newspaper, but sort of putting it together. A mother had put her young son, a toddler, on a blanket in the garden. I mean, the garden, like the farmhouse, the yard, you know, where you do all your work. And had given this young child some milk in an enamel dish, you know, those sort of enamel dishes that we used to have, an enamel dish, and together with some bread, and she left the child to eat. Obviously, she stayed nearby, getting on with her chores. But suddenly, her attention was drawn back to the toddler, because she could hear the toddler talking. But who was he talking to? Well, when she looked, what did she find? There on the blanket with the boy was a snake. And the snake was drinking the boy's milk out of the enamel dish. And as the mother looked, she saw the boy tapping the snake gently on its head, saying, "Don't drink the milk. Gall, have some bread with it." That's right, don't drink the milk empty or on its own, have some bread with it. Bread is very important to us Romanians, and bread has a significance too. When King Mihai of Romania visited the children's home where I was working, and I was there on that occasion, he was greeted on arrival and offered bread and salt as he entered the building. Bread has such significance. And in this country, bread and dough are used as slang words for money. So if anyone here has only recently arrived in the UK, just be warned. Anyone who's only been here less than a year in the UK? Yeah? Have you been less than a year? Well, just be warned, Audrey, yeah? Angel? Jan, yeah? If someone says to you, I have no bread, or if you're maybe in the shops or something, and they say to you, have you got any dough? They're expecting you to get out your wallet and pay for whatever it is in question. And when Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread, many of us understand that to be an instruction to ask God to provide us with our daily necessities, not only bread. We are thanking God for all of his good gifts to us this morning. And thank you to everybody who brought items to make this display look so nice. Let's be grateful for everything that God is giving us. But let's not concentrate only on the things that grow in our gardens or the things that we can buy from the supermarket. And let's not thank God only for the bread that we use for sandwiches or for toast. Let's also consider the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Bread is mentioned about 250 times in the Bible. Starting in Genesis, throughout the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and right up to the book of Hebrews. And bread often takes on a deeper significance in the Bible. It is more than simply being a foodstuff. Bread often features around about the time when God makes a covenant with his people. Bread often features when God is at work, when God is working in a supernatural way. And indeed, the very first reference to bread in the Bible occurs just after Abram had rescued his nephew Lot. Now, this had involved a battle, and the fact that Abram won the battle can only have been because of the power of God. And then it says, there in Genesis chapter 14, I put the reference for you on the screen, without any introduction, this is the first time we ever get the word bread mentioned in the Bible. And after this battle, in Genesis 14, it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Now here's a question for you. Why did Melchizedek bring out bread and wine? Who was he? Where did he come from? What did it signify? Well, another question. Who else do you think of when you hear the words bread and wine? How did Abraham react to Melchizedek? Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Suggests that Abraham realized that this Melchizedek, king of Salem, was not any ordinary person. Isn't it interesting that the first ever mention of bread in the Bible is linked to wine and linked to the supernatural work of God? And of course, as many of you know, it is said about Jesus in the Psalms and in the New Testament book of Hebrews about Jesus, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, who gave bread and wine to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, he is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, the one who brought out bread and wine for Abraham way back in the book of Genesis. As we've already mentioned, Jesus says about himself, I am the bread of life. So our question this morning, which is on the screen for you, is simple. Some bread or the bread? Do you want some bread or do you want the bread? And more importantly, as you approach God, are you asking God to give you some bread or are you asking him to give you the bread? Because there are plenty of people crying out to God to give them some bread or some dough, praying for life's physical essentials and life's luxuries too, including money and wealth and stuff. But they do not want to receive the bread that he is offering us. And this is not a new or unique situation. People were behaving exactly the same way back in the days of Jesus. And in our next reading, we'll see Jesus providing people with some bread, and they come back for some more bread, but Jesus challenges them and says, you've got everything all upside down. And it's in that context that he says, I am the bread of life. So we need to ask ourselves as we move forward, do we want some bread or the bread? Do we long for some bread or the bread? And when we think about what God could do and has done for us, what do we value the most? Do we most value the some bread, the physical provisions he gives us, or do we most value the bread, Jesus, the bread of life? Okay, so let's have a look, please. John chapter 6. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? I wonder how would you have replied if you had been Philip? But Jesus asked this only to test Philip, because Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. You might have answered, it's a long walk to Sainsbury's, or Aldi's just round the corner, but I think they're closed. But Philip answered, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, to put that into a modern context, if someone in the UK earns every year £20,000, that means that Philip's answer is that it will cost £10,000 to feed these people just to have a bite each. Of course, if someone's salary in this country is £40,000, you can do the maths. We're talking about £20,000 to provide enough food for everyone. But another one of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, that's Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many? It's good that he brings to Jesus' attention the boy with his packed lunch. But he asked the question, which I guess all of us would ask, how far will they go amongst so many people? I mean, if we're talking about five loaves, small loaves, and 5,000 people, that's not much bread, is it? But of course, someone is present who can change everything. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. Don't you love that note there? They didn't have to sit on jagged stones and rocks. There was plenty of grass. They could sit down and be comfortable. There was plenty of grass in that place. They sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. When they had all eaten enough, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Just think about this in a mathematical sense. You know, I'm imagining the baskets are probably this big, massive sort of baskets. And from 5 loaves at the beginning, they collect 12 basketfuls of leftovers after 5,000 people have eaten. There were more leftovers at the end than there was bread at the beginning. This is our God. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Which prophet are you talking about? This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And that's the end of this account of what we might call the feeding of the 5,000. And it's the end of that first account about bread. And we're going to get to bread again in a moment, but there's a boat ride in between. So bear with us. We'll just do the boat ride and we'll get back to bread in a moment. So now we're in verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Why do you think they're searching for Jesus? Let's find out. Verse 25. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And there are a number of places in Scripture where Jesus is asked a question and he doesn't answer the question. He answers by saying something else. And here we get it again. Verse 26, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. That is in fact a reality. Sometimes people are interested, supposedly, in Jesus because of the free lunch. The sandwiches, tuna fish rolls, yeah? Bread and fish. But Jesus goes on and he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Now, any of you who know Ephesians chapter 2 will be asking the question, are we not saved by grace? Doesn't Ephesians chapter 2 say that we are saved by grace and not by works? And these people are asking Jesus, what works must you do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus says, yes, there is a work you must do. And this doesn't contradict Ephesians. The two passages support each other. Because Jesus says the work, let's find the verse. The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. Yes, there is a work. We need to believe. And I tell you what, my friends, when all the people around you at school, at college, at uni, at work, are laughing about Jesus, are mocking him, are using his name as a swear word, it is hard, and it is hard work to believe in Jesus. But that is the work that God requires us to do. And if you want to link it to the Ephesians passage that talks about being saved by grace, what does it say? Saved by grace through faith. Faith is believing. And I tell you what, if you're going to believe in Jesus, you've got to believe in Jesus without asking for signs. Because signs and wonders never produce faith. But look at the next verse. Verse 30. So then they asked Jesus, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Do you get it, my friends? They're asking for a sign so that they will believe. But the whole point about believing is you believe in what you can't see, not in what you can see. Didn't Jesus say to Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Faith does not require signs. But these people, they say, what sign will you do? They say, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're suggesting here that Moses gave bread to them, this manna, you know, the bread that came down like sort of ready break in the morning, little flakes. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread. And then he says in verse 33, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And my question for you this morning, brothers and sisters, do you believe this? Do you believe that the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven? Jesus, the one who gives life to the world. Well, these people said, sir, always give us this bread. But they were still thinking about sliced bread or naan bread or pita bread or physical bread. And Jesus declared to them, I am the bread of life. And what you do with these verses, these words, is what makes the difference between every human being on our planet today. Do you believe it, that Jesus is the bread of life? Do you believe it when he says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty? And then in verse 36 he says, but I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Do you know that ridiculous saying we have in English? Seeing is believing. But Jesus is saying seeing is not believe it, because you've seen and you still don't believe. Jesus says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Don't those words make you think of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, it would be so nice if I didn't have to go to the cross, drink this cup, and yet not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose any of those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So my friends, are you looking to the Son? Are you looking to Jesus? At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. Let me ask you a question again, looking at those verses 40 to 43. Are you looking to the Son, because that's what we're told we need to do, or are you grumbling? Because I tell you what, there are plenty of people in our world today, and even within churches, who are not looking to Jesus. They are grumbling instead. And grumbling is the enemy of faith. Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. These words about Jesus are true for us too. No one can come to Jesus unless God the Father draws him. What a tragedy it is in church when people get angry with each other because the church is not growing, because people are not coming to know the Lord. We cannot do it, but we can cry out to God, say, Father God, will you draw people to yourself? Yes, we need to put ourselves at his disposal. Yes, we need to be available. But if Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him, how much more we can do nothing unless God is doing it. Let us be crying out to God, will you draw people to yourself, O God? Verse 45 says, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. And then in verse 47, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. These verses are so simple and yet so hard. The one who believes has eternal life. Do you believe? Jesus is the bread of life. Do you believe? And Jesus says about the manna which the Israelite people ate in the desert. He says, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, talking about Jesus, which anyone may eat and not die. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. We're going to be celebrating the communion in just a few moments' time. We're saying that we need to focus not on some bread, but on the bread. But I'm not even saying focus on that loaf of bread that's there this morning that we're going to divide between us. We focus on Jesus. The key thing is Jesus in you and are you in him? Because verse 56 says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. This relationship is, I suppose, a bit like a handshake. My hand in your hand in my hand. Jesus in me and me in him. Just as the Father, the living Father, sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now you remember that in verse 41, the Jews grumbled. They were Jesus' opponents. But look here now in verse 60. On hearing it, many of the disciples start to grumble. Many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" My friends, it is normal to be expected for people outside of the church to criticize and grumble. But what about when people within the church are grumbling? Then Jesus said, "What if you see the Son of Man ascends to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. There are churches around our world today that say it is easy and they have fancy music and flashing lights and it's like a nightclub and it's a dance place and so on and so on. And they're saying it's easy. But Jesus is saying it's not easy. I am the bread of life. When people really take this message seriously, they say it's not easy. And some decide to follow Jesus knowing that it is not easy. Others turn back and no longer follow Jesus. And that's the question that we've been asked this morning. Do we want to follow Jesus knowing that this is serious? It's not a game anymore. It never has been a game. And look at verse 67. Because Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So we get back to our question this morning. Do you want some bread? Or do you want the bread? Do you want stuff from God? Or do you want the living bread, Jesus, to live in you?